Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. For the most part, naturalized American citizens were lured to this country because our democracy gave them a voice. Then how come so many of them don't vote? We'll be talking about that in just a couple of moments. But first, how tough is it to run as a third-party candidate? We'll be talking to two libertarians who, history tells us, will be hard-pressed to win, but who could make a difference as to who does. First, we're joined by phone by Jonathan Dine. He's in Riverside, Missouri. He's a personal trainer by profession and is running for the U.S. Senate here in Missouri, along with Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill and Republican Todd Akin. Jonathan, nice to have you with us.
Nice to be on.
You know, I think conventional wisdom would say, and perhaps you'll agree with this, that you are not likely to win this race, but you could very well determine who does. What's your take on that?
You know, I think it's possible to win this race if just a few more Democrats and a few more Republicans would come my way. You know, it only takes 34% to actually win in a three-way race. Right now, I feel libertarians are more popular than ever. I think people are tired of the government in their personal lives as well as in their pocketbook, and people are kind of looking for an alternative to the two-party system.
Well, 34% can be a challenge. What are you polling these days?
I'm actually polling at 9% in the most recent public policy polling, which is pretty good for a libertarian candidate. Should qualify him for inclusion in debates as well.
Well, you've run for statewide office before, and how much of the vote did you gather the last time around, 2010?
In 2010, I ran against Roy Blunt and Robin Carnahan, and I wound up receiving 3% of the vote, which actually helped qualify libertarians for four more years of ballot access. Some of the obstacles third parties have include ballot access. You know, getting on the ballot to actually compete is a pretty tough, good goal all by itself.
Well, 3% is a long way from 34%, but it is significant because it certainly could impact the other races. Do you have any idea of who you'd rather see get that 3%?
You mean is it my opponent?
Yes.
I would prefer that neither of them got this.
Yeah. How do you rate your opponents? How do you evaluate Claire McCaskill and Todd Akin?
You know, to me, it's just that they are the typical career politician. They've both been in Washington for a long time. They've both been in public service for a long time. They're surrounded by lobbyists and corporate interests. And I think they've both kind of forgotten what life is like outside of politics. You know, I think that's one of the things that separates me from my opponents is that I'm just an ordinary American. I know what it means to work hard, earn a paycheck, you know, and actually struggle to put food on the table. So when I go to Washington, I would represent the people of the state, you know, not a party or a lobbyist.
Well, you represent typical Americans, as you say, but you also carry a little baggage, Jonathan, and I have to bring this up because our research shows that you've done a little time. Two
That's
felonies,
correct.
Possession and identity theft. Tell us about that.
Sure. My experience is actually with the criminal justice system were one of the actual reasons that prompted me to run for office. You know, you always hear that you're innocent until proven guilty in America, but nowadays I really feel that the criminal justice system favors the rich and imprisons the poor. It's more likely that you're more guilty until you can pay your innocence.
But nonetheless, you do carry this baggage. Do you anticipate that this is going to have some impact amongst those voters?
You know, I'm sure it does. You know, but actually I feel that there's a lot of people who don't participate in the electoral process at all. After a few of the stories were aired, I actually received a few messages from people who, you know, who aren't normally considered voters. And they said, you know, I've never voted for anybody in my life, but I'm going to go ahead and vote for you. And a lot of times people can see that you've made past mistakes, but you've learned from them and that you are trying to, you know, pursue a more sensible drug policy for marijuana, for example. I think locking people up and putting them in cages for a nonviolent vice is just almost crazy. You know, like the prohibition of alcohol, you can see that prohibition creates a lot of negative side effects, including the black market, where drugs are inflated to a price worth killing over. You know, you can see that I think the majority of the violence in Mexico is actually attributed to the prohibition of marijuana.
We should point out that it was a marijuana possession charge that got you in trouble.
Correct.
Yeah. You're making your way towards St. Louis because there's going to be a debate tomorrow night involving Senator McCaskill and Mr. Aiken, but not you.
That's correct. You know, I actually contacted the Chamber of Commerce when I heard about their decision because it was pretty upsetting. You know, I think no matter what your political affiliation is, when a political party can exert that much control over the debate process, it's kind of shameful to the democratic system we're supposed to have. You know, it's supposed to be free people can choose their elected officials, but when a party can silence a majority, or not a majority, but a large block of voters, I think it does a shameful process, or a shameful act towards the debate.
What does it say, though, about your party and its inability to make this happen for you and other candidates?
Well, you know, I don't think it's more of our saying anything about our party, but more the stranglehold the two parties have over the system itself. You know, when debates should be about candidates talking about the issues in an unscripted manner, and it should be, and that rarely happens because of the two parties' influence actually over the debate process. You know, the people of Missouri deserve to hear all the candidates talk about all the issues so that they're able to make an informed decision.
Well, you're not going to be a part of the debate, obviously, as we've suggested. What are you going to be doing here?
Well, on Thursday, I actually have an in-studio interview with Channel 5 News, who will be doing a story on the debate exclusion. Actually, have been receiving several good press about actually being excluded. So I think it's something that strikes a chord with a lot of people when you can kind of see it's a blatantly unfair process when you can get excluded even though you are a legitimate candidate.
I was under the impression you were going to be involved in some sort of a demonstration.
I am not actually going to protest the decision in person. You know, I tried that in 2010 with Kansas City Public Television to no avail. What I'm going to use my resources for is just to help shed some more light on the matter. You know, and I think that it's something that should upset the voters of Missouri, regardless of their political affiliation. You know, it's not going to be a true debate if it's going to be two parties who almost agree on the same things, and there's certain issues that the Republicans and Democrats will just ignore.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues in the time that we have left, Jonathan. In your campaign literature, you speak of government outrages against the people. What do you mean by that? What outrages do you cite?
Well, to me, I feel it under the pretense of taking care of you, the government has raided your pocketbook. You know, there's several things now where government intrudes on your personal life as well. You know, the drug war and the prohibition of marijuana, really, it says that the government owns your body, not you. You know, you don't have the responsibility to make choices for yourself. And now the government can make those choices for you by threat of force. You know, I feel that for far too long the government has poked its nose in the business of its citizens. You know, if I were elected, I would fight to keep the Republicans out of your bedroom and the Democrats out of your wallet.
That is pretty standard libertarian stuff, isn't it, to get the government out of our lives?
Yeah, I think there's also a lot of common misconceptions about the libertarian, that we want no government or that we're anarchists. But in fact, I'm a minarchist. I believe in the proper role of government to protect you from force and fraud, but not to be your master, but to more be like a night watchman, so to speak, you know, to stand up for your rights. If you're being ripped off or you're being attacked, the government should help you. But it shouldn't be able to tell you who you can love or what you can do or what you can eat or how much money you can keep of your own paycheck.
Well, how about the government's directing your health care, for instance? If you get to Washington, that's certainly going to be an issue you have to be dealing with, health care reform.
That's correct. And looking at just what was passed, to me it looked like it was much more beneficial for the insurance companies than it was for the American people. You know, telling the American people that they need to purchase a commodity no matter the price, I think will do nothing to actually lower the cost of health care. In fact, it'll probably rise. You know, if you're forced to buy a product or service and there's only a couple sellers, you know, what incentive would they have to lower their costs?
Would you vote to repeal?
I would vote to repeal the Obamacare package just because I don't like the individual mandate. I think, you know, it is the government's responsibility to protect you from predatory practices like the exclusion from pre-existing conditions. I think that's something that should be, you know, if you're going to sell insurance, you shouldn't be able to cherry-pick your people. Everybody should have some access to health care, but I don't think that the government should mandate it. We should also open it up, allow more competition, allow, you know, you shop around purchasing your health care across state lines. I think if they did nothing to really address the actual rising cost of health care and more served up 300 million new customers, insuring 300 million customers for the insurance companies.
We only have limited time, as I've indicated, but the economy is certainly the major issue on the table right now. What sort of ideas do you have for improving it and getting more people back to work?
Well, my philosophy is simple. I feel that lower taxes will provide more opportunity for people to actually start businesses. If you have lower taxes, you can keep more of what you earn. You'd be able to build a new home and fuel real economic growth. I think our current politicians have just run reckless with their spending, their earmarks. You have omnibus bills just filled with billions and billions of dollars in pork from both parties. I feel both parties are really responsible for taking us to the edge of a fiscal disaster, and I don't feel that either party is actually serious about balancing the budget and reining in the spending. So one thing I would do is, as a senator, I would vote no to any legislation containing earmarks. I would vote no the legislation where spending exceeds revenue, and I would use the bully pulpit to talk about why we need to balance the budget and the actual imminent danger that poses to our country. You know, Russia didn't collapse because it went or got invaded. It collapsed because it got broke. It went broke. You know, and I feel if we don't turn course and actually talk about reforming some of these entitlements, then there might not be nothing left for everybody.
Well, Jonathan Dine, we have to let it go at that point. I'm afraid our time is up. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you in St. Louis tomorrow, I suspect, and good luck on November 6th.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Jonathan Dine, he is the Libertarian candidate for the U.S. Senate. By the way, U.S. Senate candidate, Representative Todd Akin is going to be a guest on this program on Monday. Senator Claire McCaskill has been invited. She has not yet confirmed a date for appearing on this program, but we hope she does. Back in a moment with the Libertarian candidate for Missouri Attorney General. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.